Friends, this morning, as always, I have a fearful responsibility to preach on this important subject of the gospel of Jesus Christ and of reconciliation. And my friends, you are not just to be hearers. You also have this awesome responsibility of hearing, of receiving, and responding to the gospel. Friends, there is a day that is coming that all will be raised from death unto life. There will be a great day of resurrection. And my friends, there is a day of reckoning that comes. And this morning will be noticed and recorded. What was our response? What was my response as I preached the word of God? And what is the response of everyone who hears? Many people go to church. They go for all kinds of reasons. But many do not pray. I fear that God would speak to them. Did you pause this morning sincerely in your heart? Not just say the words, but mean the words. Lord, speak to me. Because these are serious things. It affects you forever. This, what we hear this morning, it will do two things, the apostle says. Either it will soften your heart, and it would give you life and peace, and it would unburden you of your sins and give you that hope and joy in Jesus Christ, or it hardens you. It makes you to become more careless. It makes you become thoughtless about your own soul. It makes you become more self-righteous, depending on yourself. Well, my prayer is that your heart would be broken and would be brought to a real knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to be converted, to be saved, to be forgiven, then, my friends, you need to hear this Bible. People go to places and what they hear is music and lots of stories and things about the individual behind the pulpit. I don't want you to hear about things that I have done or the things that I would like to do. No, that's not what you need. That's not what will save your soul. What saves the soul is what Jesus Christ has done. And you need to hear the word of God this morning. Salvation is to be found in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ as it is shown in the scriptures. Of his own will, the scripture says, begat he us with the word of truth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And here, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18 through to 21, here is my text. We could say verse 19 is my text. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Think on that. God was in Christ, reconciling the world. What an amazing thing. The world, this world of sinful people from all walks of life. That is the thing to think about. Being reconciled to God. That's the subject. Being reconciled to God. And ask yourself, am I reconciled to God? Am I at peace with God? Am I at one with the Lord? Do I know him? Do I know my sins are truly forgiven? There are people who would say, to have that assurance of faith, it is near blasphemous. The Roman Catholic Church would say that you cannot say you can be sure of your salvation. My friends, the scripture says we can be sure. I know, the apostle says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded. God was reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses or sins unto them. Think about that. He was not charging their sins to them. And it says, and hath given us this word of reconciliation. Now, you look at verse 19 and those first couple of words. To wit, what does that mean? It means namely. It means this is to say, or that is to say, or it means here is the message. This is the message here. God was in Christ. What a powerful word. God was in Christ. God himself, who reconciled to himself by Jesus Christ, was in Jesus Christ. That's what it says. That God was in Christ. This is the message you need to hear. He's reconciling the world unto himself. Not charging our sins to us, but laying them on who? On his Son, Jesus Christ. God was in Christ. If you get hold of this, this very truth, you will learn what the gospel is, what the good news of Jesus Christ is. If you just take hold of this, believe this. There is no reason why you can't get hold of this either. God was in Christ. Jesus Christ is the man. Pilate said, behold the man. He is the man, but he is more than a man. He is the God-man. He said, I and the Father are one. Philip said, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. It sufficeth us. And he says, that's what you are looking to. You are looking at the one who is God, equal to the Father. He that hath seen me hath seen my Father. I and my Father are one. The scripture says, being in the form of God, being God himself, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And yet, he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and being found in fashion as a man, that is, he took the nature of man and or flesh, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Do you hear what I'm saying? God was in Christ. That's where you have to start. That's the starting point. Jesus said, God reconciled us to himself. So you and I need God to save us. You don't need me to save you. I can't. I can't save even myself. But you need God to save you. God must reconcile us to himself. And so have you ever asked God seriously that you deserve to be condemned and deserve to be lost? Well, here this morning, in the time that we have, we are going to try to look at six things that I want us to see regarding being reconciled, to God. And they are this. First of all, that in the gospel brings us peace to God. The gospel brings peace to us, I should say. The gospel brings peace to us. The second thing is that God promises all things to those who believe him. Thirdly, that God brings to you his favor or his grace. The fourth thing to you that we will think about is that God identifies himself with us. And fifthly, God in Christ pardons our sins. And finally, we will think about the fact that God in this text invites you to be reconciled to him. So first of all, let me repeat again. In the gospel, God brings peace to us. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, it says. God was in Christ, and God in Christ is bringing peace to us. He wants to be at peace with us. So, friends, contrary to what many people believe, most people believe, the holy God of heaven, the scripture says, is angry with the wicked every day. The unbelievers are called the children of wrath, the Apostle Paul says, even as others. That's what we are. And that's what the scripture says. Also, we read in the Bible that he that hath not the Son of God, the wrath of God abideth on him. So that's, again, the scriptures. Do you know what the wrath of God is? The wrath of God is demonstrated in various parts of the Bible. We see various pictures of it. The wrath of God is demonstrated in the Garden of Eden, when God Almighty threw out the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, He cast them out. It was demonstrated when the flood came, that worldwide flood came, and the Almighty God destroyed that world. It is demonstrated in the cities of the plain when God sent fire and brimstone to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But my friends, the wrath of God in its pure form was seen on Calvary, when God spared not His Son. That's what the scripture says. And that shows God is angry with sin. God, the scripture says, hates the workers of iniquity. He's angry with the wicked every day. So, and yet this is the same God who announces peace. So we can't just see God in just one way, from one view, one angle. We need the whole of who He is. We need to know who He is truly. And friends, you only know me, maybe some of you know me just now in the pulpit, but you don't know me. You don't know my behavior in other forms, in other times. And we can look at God and we can hear certain messages just from one angle of who God is. But we need to know the Lord. We need to know Him as the scripture reveals Him. And it is this God who announces peace. Where is this peace? Well, the angels came down, didn't they? They came down in this world, on this earth, and they said to some shepherds on a Judean hillside, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, they said, goodwill toward men. They said, we bring to you glad tidings of great joy. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. There is where peace is. It is in that Savior, Christ the Lord, peace with God. And it isn't anywhere else. You won't find peace for your soul in anyone or anything else. And my friends, we are going through this life and you might be here and you have no peace. You're cast down, you're sad, you have all kinds of things happen to you. And you have no peace. Will you find peace? Where is your hope? In this life, in death. Without Jesus Christ, you don't know exactly how to answer that. I didn't know how to answer that. But with Jesus Christ, knowing Him, I can say, He is my peace. He is my life. He is my eternity. He is everything I have. I'm not living for self. I'm living for Him. Christ is at peace, or God in Christ is at peace with us. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. By faith in Jesus Christ, God accounts all of our sins, all of our unrighteousness, all of those things that you've had to say sorry, at least to people. And we neglect to ask God for forgiveness. All of those sins are accounted as nothing or canceled. They were laid upon Jesus Christ. And being justified, it means that God gives us then of Christ's righteousness. We have peace with God. So that is where peace is. You can't claim it anywhere else. You can try other things, but you will never find it. So if you are not in Christ, you are not at peace with God. God is at war, the scripture says, with you. And we are at war with God. And he's. Do you know who will win? Will you win? Will I win? No, God will win at the end. He is going to visit us. God is surely to visit us. And that's just so. So this is a serious and solemn reality that we read in the Bible. God in Christ is at peace. He is reconciled with us only in Jesus Christ. There's a story of two brothers. I might have mentioned this before, but they lived on adjoining farms. But they were at deep quarrel against each other. And how that often happens in families. They had often shared their resources, their things. They did things together, but now they were bitter against each other. Something had happened and that divided them. And one morning, a brother, let's call him John, he answers a knock on the door, and someone says, look what your brother has done. He's dug a great thing to divide your land between each other. And you can't go over to his land anymore, and he won't be able to come to your land anymore. And this man said, but I'm a carpenter. Do you want me to do something for you? And John said that there was something he could do. So he took the man to that great pit that his brother had made and with the bulldozer. And John said, make a fence. I don't want to even see him. Make a fence so that there is a fence between me and my brother. And so the carpenter started working. And at the end of the day, the man came out. And to see what the carpenter had done. And he had used his skill and built a bridge over it. Not a fence, but a bridge. And John's brother, so John was now on this bridge, not happy, but John's brother came out and he saw this bridge and he came towards his brother and he realized something. Someone has made a bridge to bring them both back together again. It's a little picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. My friends, you don't have to be at war with God. Someone has not made a fence, but a bridge. And he laid down his life. Christ is that bridge to the Lord. And that is why we read here that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Do you appreciate that? Do you see that? But then the second thing is this, about the promises of God. In Jesus Christ, you have all the promises. In the gospel, God promises all things to us. In chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians, or chapter 1, I should say, verse 20, you have this. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Who is him? It's Jesus Christ. So all the promises of God is to those who trust in the Lord, who are at peace with him. And for us, sometimes it is very hard to understand. But this is what it says. God promises everything to us. You see, my friends, you should seriously think how holy God is and how righteous, how good, how perfect he is. And you should seriously as well think how he is in all of that and in his justice. He doesn't promise you or me anything but condemnation and punishment in his holiness. If you're going to just see God in his holiness, you're not going to get any promises. Because he says in his holiness, you must be as perfect as I am. I require perfection. So in his holiness, in his justice, we see threats from God. This is something that he threatens. He says, I will repay him to his face, God said. Their feet slide in due time, the psalmist says. God is a revenging God. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, the scripture says. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? We read. So he will do right. But here is the good news. It is in Jesus Christ only that God promises something to you. If you want a promise from the Lord, you find it in Jesus Christ. You go to Jesus Christ. He promises forgiveness in Jesus Christ, in whom we have forgiveness. He promises redemption. That is to be bought from the state of sin, to be set free, no longer a slave of sin, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the apostle says. He promises blessings because Jesus Christ fulfills all the conditions of the promise. I hope you see that. I hope you know something of this. God in Christ is a promising God. God can make good in His on His promises in the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ has fulfilled the conditions of the promise. God said to us, walk before me in holiness, and I will bless you. But we haven't. But Jesus Christ has done that. And we go with Him. We hold His hand. And in Jesus Christ, we receive the blessings. So there are these promises that the Lord gives sinners like us. And the only way to receive it is in Christ. The third thing is this. In the gospel, God brings to you His favor. His favor. God, in Jesus Christ, sits in the throne, upon the throne of grace, the scripture says. And this is important, friends, to take note of. God in Christ sits on the throne of grace. Our God has, we could say, threefold throne. I know it is one throne, but it is revealed in a threefold manner. Listen, God's throne is a throne of holiness, the scripture says. It's a throne of holiness, and none of this can be compromised at the expense of the other. It can't. Isaiah says this in Isaiah 6, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Around His throne, the cherubims cried, holy, holy, holy. They covered their faces. They covered their mouth. They covered their feet. In the presence of God's holiness, they did that. Because God's throne is holy. The one who is upon the throne is holy. But another thing is this. His throne is a throne of justice. It's a throne of justice. It's the King who sits upon the throne. So the complete righteousness and judgment, clothed in the robes of justice and authority and vengeance, the most favored of men have trembled, the most favored of people, the most godliest of people, they have quaked when they have thought about that. David said this, Lord, if Thou shouldest mark iniquity, if You were to mark my sins, who should stand? Who can stand before Thee? But thirdly, God's throne is the throne of grace too. And that's our hope. Our hope is not in God's holiness. Our hope is not in God's justice. Because we will get what we deserve, if that was all. But our hope is in the grace of God. That's why we come to the throne of grace, the scripture says. In Hebrews 4 and verse 14, he says this, seeing then that we have a great high priest, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, that is passed into the heavens. How is that possible? Because He fulfilled the law of God perfectly. He died on the cross. He went to heaven. Jesus, the Son of God. That's our great high priest. And then later it says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. I can't come to a throne of holiness alone. No. I can't go to the throne of justice. No. I can't look upon the holiness of that throne. I can't stand before the justice of that throne. You might say, you pray to God to save you. But did you pray realizing how holy God is? And do you pray depending desperately and holding on to Jesus Christ? That's why Jesus Christ is the only way. Because there is no other way. All other ways lead to the throne of God's holiness and God's justice. And everyone will fall. But we go to Jesus Christ. And we go through Him to the throne of grace. So what should I do this morning? I go to the throne of grace empty-handed. I come for grace. Being naked, I can come for grace. Being a sinner, I can come for grace. Being guilty, I can come for grace. So let us come to the throne of grace. And what do you find when you are praying to God to save you? That you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, the scripture says. So I'm coming to the throne of grace. I hope you are too. And so then, why doesn't God become angry with a penitent sinner? Why doesn't God become angry with me that I come with confessing my sins? Because he instead has been angry and has poured his wrath upon Jesus Christ, his Son. In Jesus Christ, you can be perfectly holy before God. Let me tell you something. If you don't have this high priest, Jesus Christ, if you don't have the Savior, then you have one alternative. And as I said, the throne of holiness and the throne of justice. I hope it's clear enough for you. So God brings peace to us in the gospel. In the gospel, God promises all things to us. In the gospel, God brings us his favor. But in the gospel, God identifies himself with us as well. That's the fourth thing. God identifies himself with us. If God was pleased to tolerate us and let us live our lives, live out our years on this earth, and then destroy us, that would be mercy. But God has actually condescended. He has brought himself down to become one of us. He took our nature. He became man. God was in Christ, as we read. The Word was made flesh. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's what we read in the Gospel of John. He's the exact image of God, Jesus Christ, the divine person himself, became a man. Wherefore, in all things, the scripture says, it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He was numbered, the scripture says, with the transgressors. So listen, friends. If God just condescended to tolerate us for a while and then to destroy us, that would be mercy. If God just came down and passed through and showed us himself, his glory, that is a wonderful thing. It says that he did come down. He dwelt among us. He took unto himself the bone of our bones and the flesh of our flesh. He became one of us. And he gave us his name. He assumed our debts. And he said, I will never forsake you. I will never divorce you. You are mine forever. God in Christ identifies himself with us. And fifthly, God in Christ pardons our sins. God in Christ pardons our sins. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. In Colossians 1 and verse 14, it says that this is the only gospel, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And the apostle said, preach any other message and you be cursed. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. Friends, think on this. I don't deny my sins. Do you deny your sins? I don't dare approach God with my sins and in my sins. Do you dare to do that? But in Christ, he said, when I repent, when I trust him, I have forgiveness. I have righteousness. I am justified. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. He doesn't charge him with sin. So God in Christ puts away our sins. That's the only way that he can. And finally, this is the good news. God in Christ invites sinners, earnestly calling sinners to come to him and to live. That's what the Lord is saying. And he says that Christians are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they go pleading with sinners. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, begged you. This is the word for begging. Beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So there is an urgency in the tone of the apostle here. The Lord says this, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. The Lord is saying, I will make them white as snow. Isn't that mercy? That God should invite you, invite me to come and reason with him. Listen to him then, friends. He said, hear and your soul shall live. Incline your ear and you will live. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. So don't bring anything. Just come, he says, with a thirst for me, with a thirst for my salvation. Are you thirsty? That old hymn says, all the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him. Friends, one thing I could say, you don't have to come. You don't have to go to the Lord. You can stay away, as many people do. God is not going to lose a thing. He is satisfied in himself. He's glorious in himself. He's perfectly holy, independent of all creatures. His holiness will go on. But I tell you, the scripture says, you ought to come to God. You ought to come through Jesus Christ. Christ said, come unto me and drink. Paul says, be ye reconciled to God. So what should we do? We lay down our resistance. Lay down your pride. Lay down yourself. Lay down your weapons of warfare. Surrender. And look to Christ and be made whole. Sometimes you see as an individual say, I've made up my mind. They are strong in their will. They are not going to change. Whatever people show them, a better way, they say, no, I've made up my mind. I have to see this thing through all the way. Wouldn't it be better to stop and turn around and say, no, I accept this. There needs to be a humility in all of us. My friends, my God is not a beggar, but we are beggars. Don't think that God is going to be worse off without us. But we will be worse off without him. So the Lord is king, the scripture says. And so he's calling you to surrender to him. Surrender to his love. Admit of your sin. Confess it, leave it. Trust only in Jesus Christ. And he's the captain of our salvation, the scripture says. And that captain has loved us so much that he would die for us. Think of that. He has offered us beggars free food. He has offered us beggars, naked beggars, a robe of righteousness. He's offered to those who are without mothers and without fathers. He has offered us to be adopted into his family. You don't have to be alone by yourself. God in Christ reconciled the world unto himself. Will you believe? Will you receive him? Look to the Lord. Call upon the Lord today. Look to him. Receive him. He will receive you. Years ago, I read about a husband and wife who became estranged. They finally separated. They left the city that they were in and lived in different parts of the country. The husband one day happened to return to this city on a matter of business. He went out. Then they had a son together who had died. And he went out to the cemetery, to the grave of their only son. And he was standing there, thinking about the memories of the past. And then he heard the steps behind him. It was his wife. And turned around and she took his hand and they embraced each other. And what was it that joined them together? What was it that brought them together? That brought reconciliation between them? It was that son who had died. It was that son who had died. And as I read that, account, I thought, this is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. This is what unites us. It's the death of Jesus Christ. But not only that, His life. He's alive. That's our hope. Our Savior is not dead. The Son of God is no longer in the grave. He is risen indeed. So, friends, it took nothing less than death to reconcile that couple. And it takes nothing less than death, the precious blood of Christ, to reconcile man to God. The pronouncement, the proclamation of that is the gospel message. This is the word of reconciliation. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself.